Amen. It's good to be here this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ain't it been good singing already this morning? I appreciate the group singing, doing a wonderful job, the others that have sung, and it sure is good to be here, and I'm honored to be able to come. I love your dear pastor to death, and I mean that. He's always had us to come. Even when he was in Virginia, we'd always come up, and now coming to Maryland, what a joy it is to be here. And I want to say this about this man of God sitting here. I can't say this about everyone I go preach for, but I'll be honest with you. I believe this man is a wonderful example of what it means to be a good preacher and a good pastor. I mean that, and I'm honored to be able to sit here and say that. There's a lot of good preachers out there. Now, I'll be honest with you, a lot of good preachers, and there's a lot of good pastors, but if you can find one that's good at both, you've got a jewel. And I believe this man right here, he's true, and he's real, and I love him to death. He's one of my dearest friends, and I'm honored to be able to come, brother. Thank you for the privilege to come, and it's a joy to be here. Beautiful facilities you have, and I'll be honest with you, the Lord has blessed y'all. The Lord has tremendously blessed y'all, and it sure is good to be with you this morning. I do want to ask you to pray for us as we endeavor to try to preach what the Lord's set on our heart. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and also find your place in Joshua chapter 1, and you'll figure out where we're going in a little while, and I do believe he mentioned that dinner's already here. And so I praise the Lord for that. And so, well, amen. We'll just stand together and go now eat. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. But it's good to be here today. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and Joshua chapter 1. And if you'll find your places there. Do y'all normally stand and read the Word of God? All right, let's stand together around the place here. We'll stand for the reading of God's Word. Try to do that if people normally are used to that and do that. And if not, that's fine. But I want to reverence whatever your pastor normally does. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I just want to read one verse of Scripture here. And try to use this as a springboard or kind of a base for a foundation for our message. And then we're going to go to Joshua chapter 1. The Bible said 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 57. The Bible says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. We can all say amen to that. Amen. Verse number 57. I'm going to read it one more time. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I want you to go to Joshua chapter 1 with me, please. Joshua chapter 1. You'll see where we're going in just a moment. Joshua chapter 1. Back over to the Old Testament book of Joshua there. Chapter number 1. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to thy right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. Let's bow for a moment of prayer, and I ask you to bow as well and pray for us at this time. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning, God, for the privilege we had to be here this morning. God, I sure do need your touch this morning. I thank you already. We felt the tug of the Holy Ghost today in this place. Lord, you've already ministered in our hearts in the singing of the songs already. Lord, you sure have helped me already. But God, I sure need your help right now. God, I can't preach in my own abilities. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But I pray for an anointing unction from on high today. God, I pray you'd enter me in myself and fill me with the Holy Ghost today. Would you give liberty to preach thy word? Lord, you sure have burdened my heart for this message. And I pray you'd make it easy and enjoyable to preach what thus saith the Lord. I pray, Lord, there may be one sitting amongst us today. Lord, they're unsaved. I pray you draw them into conviction, God, and show them they're a sinner on their way to a devil's hell without Jesus Christ today. Lord, I pray they may come and get saved today and born in the family of God. But Lord, whatever we've come in here with today, God, you know the hearts of these people. And I pray you'd encourage your people. I pray you'd edify us and educate us in the Word of God. And I pray today your name might be exalted in this place today. And I pray, Lord, would you just touch us. And God, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Bible says in verse number 57, it talks about we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad today there is victory in Jesus. I want to preach on that for just a little while today, is having victory in Jesus. I know as a saved person today, I stand here before you and I can truly say there is victory over whatever you might face in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what sin you're struggling with, no matter what storm you're facing, no matter what your situation is, there is victory in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm glad to present that to you this morning. I tell you, a lot of people in this world are looking for victory. A lot of people in this world are looking for a way out. They're looking for something to bring them joy and satisfaction. But I want to say, you'll not find anything to satisfy you in sin. You'll not find anything that will satisfy you. But one day, as a young boy at 7 years old, I found something to satisfy that void that was inside of my heart, and his name was Jesus. Well, I'm glad for the day I met Jesus. You say, where'd you meet him at? Well, I really didn't see him face to face, but there one day I was right. I'll be honest with you, you don't have to be in church to be saved. I was in the back seat of my mom's vehicle. We were traveling down an old country road there near where we live, and there is a young boy. We was listening to the preaching on the radio. I began to just start crying in the back seat of that car, realizing I was on my way to hell that day. And there on the side of the road, she pulled that car over, and there I got saved. I claimed the victory that is only through Jesus Christ. And I want to say today, there's only victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. There's not victory in religion. There's not victory today in an organization. There's not victory in all these things that they've come up with today. Listen, there's enough places you can go. They promise, oh, we'll help you. They might help you a little bit, but they'll never do what Jesus can do. And I want to do my best to preach on victory in Jesus. You say, well, why in the world are you reading in Joshua? I want you to go to Joshua chapter 1 this morning with me. And I want you to see in just a moment where we're going at. You see, Joshua here in the Old Testament is the first of the historical books of the Old Testament. As you begin to come to this place, it seems as Moses has kind of been the center theme of the books of the Bible. But all of a sudden here, Israel, if you know anything about the first books of the Bible, you'll find that all of a sudden back in Genesis, we have the doctrine of sin. We have sin is established. Satan is established. I mean, we have nothing but it seems like faults and failures up to the book of Joshua. I mean, it seems like they're just wandering around in the wilderness. I mean, it's almost like you and I were before we got saved. Up into the book of Joshua, it seems like it's failure after failure. It's fault after fault. It's wandering around with no purpose, really. It's wandering around. I mean, just a bunch of just a mess up after mess up. All these things going on. But oh, we come to the book of Joshua. And I love the book of Joshua. I want to say, if you've never read the book of Joshua, I encourage you to go home and read it sometime. But the book of Joshua here is almost the same. And many people I've read after even claim that Joshua is almost like the Ephesians of the Old Testament. Because the book of Ephesians is always talking about victory, always talking about conquering things. And you and I, when we get to the book of Joshua, we find the same thing. And you know, I love the book of Joshua. But you know, the Lord's begun to show me some things I never seen before. I mean, Moses here. Oh, I mean, all the first books there before Joshua, dealing with the life of Moses, dealing with the law. But then when we come to Joshua, there's a change. When we come to Joshua, things begin to turn around almost. You say, well, where are you going with this? Well, I want to show you something here. The Bible says in verse number 1 of the book of Joshua, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. When we come to the book of Joshua, all of a sudden there becomes a new leader on the scene. Amen. You may just say this right here. You and I one day, if you and I are saved, there come a day when someone new took over your life. There come a day when a new leader took over. There come a day when you got a new Lord, amen. There come a day if you got saved. If you're claiming victory today, it had to come from a day you got a new Lord, a new life, and a new leader, amen, in your life. Boy, as I began to get the book of Joshua, I began to see all of a sudden, here's Moses. Moses led the children of Israel. Moses is a picture of the law. It seems like you can try and you can try, and you and I, we try our best to keep God's standard, but we always fail. But oh, when you come to the book of Joshua, when you come to the book of Joshua, and I begin to study the book of Joshua, and that word Joshua, if I'm correct, Pastor, looking it up, is the Hebrew equivalent to the word Jesus. You say, what are you trying to say? They tried, and they tried, but they kept failing. They tried to get over in Canaan land. They tried to get things right. They tried, and they could never reach victory. But when they got a new leader, when they got a new Lord, when they got someone new leading their life, they was able to make it over into Canaan land. You see, a lot of people, they're trying to find satisfaction in a pill bottle and a drink and some type of thing to put in their arm, to put in their veins, to do something. They try to go to the AAs. They try to go to all these anonymous classes, and that's wonderful. Listen, if you need some type of counseling, I'm all for counseling. You need somebody to talk to you, go to your pastor. But I want to say the main problem with most people, they've never gotten under new leadership. They've never gotten a new Lord. They've never gotten open under new management. They've never gotten to the place of coming to an altar and saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. God, will you save me and repent of their sin and get open under new management? Amen. Listen, when you get to the book of Joshua, you find a new leader comes on the scene. Let me just show you this real quickly, though. I want to show you this. Look in verse number 2. The Bible said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. For a new leader to come on the scene, there had to be a decision made. You see, God had been prepping Joshua all through Moses' ministry. But Joshua here is commanding verse number 2 to arise, lead these children over into Canaan land. There was still a decision Joshua had to make if he was going to do it or not. And you and I, there's a lot of false doctrines out here, but there has to come a time in your life you make a personal decision in your life. I still believe whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You throw that other doctrine junk out the window. Listen, I believe there has to come a time in your life, a decision has to be made when you personally accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Your mama, she may be a godly woman, but she can't save you. Your daddy may be the best pastor around, He can't save you. Your grandpa and grandma may have prayed, and let me say, I'm all for prayer. Amen. But that prayer can't save you. There has to be a decision in your life when you come and you say, I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. Listen, amen. Amen this morning. Praise the Lord. But I want to tell you, number two, what I've seen in here. Number one, there was a decision. But number two, there was a death. You say, what are you trying to say? In order for Joshua to come on the scene, the old man had to die. Amen. You say, I'm not making fun of Moses, but amen. The old man had to die for the new man to come on the scene. And let me just say, you and I, listen, we can come and we can say all we want to say. We can sign every VBS card there is. We can say all we want to. We can just repeat after me. Listen, but I want to say, until you die to yourself, until you get to the place of realizing, I can't save myself, the old man, the flesh has to die. Listen, you have to come to the end of your rope and yourself and say, I cannot be saved outside of Jesus Christ. Listen, the old man had to die, and there was a decision had to be made, but oh, there was a difference as well. You say, what are you trying to say? When they got under Joshua, there ain't nobody can say there wasn't a difference under the leadership of Joshua. I mean, all of a sudden, they've been trying for 40 years in the wilderness to find Canaan land. Couldn't get there. But all of a sudden, Joshua comes on the scene. Man, they're making their way there. What a difference. And you and I ever get saved, I'm talking about true born again, there'll be a difference. There'll be a difference in our life. There'll be a difference. Listen, I believe that. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You say, well, when I got off the altar, I didn't look any different. Your flesh won't look any different. There'll be somebody new on the inside. There'll be something different on the inside. And I've been around long enough to know when something new gets on the inside, it'll work its way over to the outside. Listen, now you don't trust me. You don't believe me. You do this. You go start eating at McDonald's for 3 meals a day for a year and you see if it don't start showing on the outside. I believe what you put in will come out. And I believe once you get changed by the grace of God, you get saved, there'll be a difference come. Amen. But oh, I see this as well. And I want you to look at me in verse number 2. The Bible says here, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. You see, when they got under new leadership, they had a direction. And you and I, ever since we got saved, God's got a direction. He wants us to travel. He wants us to travel that straight and narrow path. He wants you and I to walk in the ways of God, in the ways of holiness, to live a life, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. You see, you and I, we get under new leadership. God has a direction. He calls it His will. He calls it His plan. Listen, it's a narrow path. And I like what Brother Eddie Davis said. He said, how can you not be narrow-minded when you're on a narrow path? Amen. Listen, I want to say, you may look at me today and you may say he's a country hick. Amen to that. I don't care what you saw me. But I want to say, you may call me narrow-minded. But I want to say this today. I believe when you get under new leadership, you get a new Lord and you get a new life, there'll be some different things about you and there'll be a different direction in your life. Amen. But I see not only did they get a new leader, but they got some new land. Amen. Listen, when I got saved, I didn't even realize what all I got that day on the side of that road. I didn't realize that God had done so many things in my spirit, in my heart. I didn't realize what all I began to own that day when I got saved. You say, really? Yes. I got a mansion waiting for me on the other side. I got some new land waiting on me. Amen. I got a new inheritance. Amen. I got some land credited to me just as they had land on the other side. Listen, I got some land one day too. But you know, I want to tell you something amazed me about the book of Joshua. I want you to look at me in verse number 3 real quickly. He told Joshua and them, he said, arise, go over this land, obtain that land. Verse number 3. He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Now, I'm preaching on victory today. And I want you to get this, if nothing else. There's only victory when you get under Jesus Christ. only victory in Jesus Christ. But when I began to read verse number 3, he said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, he said, in other words, it's yours. And I begin to think about this. I believe, you know what God's trying to tell us is this. And I say this in the form of this message of victory. Everywhere you step, you can have victory. Every place the sole of your foot steps, you can have victory if you're under the right leadership. Amen this morning. I believe that. Listen, there's a lot of us trying our best to gain victory, but we got to realize victory was won on Calvary. He said it is finished when he died on the cross and he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. They didn't take his life from him. He freely laid it down so you and I could have victory. And I want to say this morning, you and I need to quit trying to obtain and work toward victory. Victory was given to us on the cross of Calvary. You and I have to just claim the blood of Jesus Christ as our victory today. You see, Satan wants to tell us you can't have victory. Satan wants to tell us, oh, you can't live in victory. I've got news for you. Yes, we live in this old flesh. Yes, there's nothing in our flesh dwelleth good. There's nothing in our flesh that is good about us. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I got news for old Satan. We can have victory even though we are living on this planet called earth. Amen. There's still victory in Jesus. And oh yes, but you see, they were promised a land, but they were not possessing the land that was promised to them. You see, all the way back in Genesis, the Lord spoke unto even Abraham and said, I'm giving you this land. They already owned that land, but they were not possessing that land. There's a lot of you sitting here. You've got victory because you're saved, but you're not possessing victory. Amen. There's a lot of you sitting here. You're living your life defeated. You're living your life like a roller coaster. I mean, you're going up the hill like this one minute, back down like this the next minute, back up. I mean, you're just twisting, turning. It's just a roller coaster life for you. And I want to say this. I understand where you're coming from. I was there one day. I was saved, but I was not living in victory all the time. Listen to me now. You listen, there's a lot of people saved, they don't have victory. You know why? Because victory was given to us on the cross of Calvary. We own victory, but we're not possessing it. You see, these Israelites here, they were on the other side of Jordan. They owned the land that the enemy was sitting there dwelling in. They owned every city that was over there. How beautiful those cities were. They owned all that land. It was all theirs, but they wasn't possessing it. You see, today I own several things in my life. I got a guitar over there. I love to death. Amen. I own that guitar, but I'm not possessing it at the moment. It's sitting over there. Amen. You see where I'm coming from? There's a lot of things in your Christian life God did for you when he saved you, but we're not possessing it today. There's a lot of things in our life a lot of time. Listen, God is blessed. God, listen, we're living far below our spiritual birthright. Amen. A lot of us are. But listen, I want to ask you this today. Why are you not living in victory? Amen. Why are we not living victorious? Why are we walking around defeated and discouraged and downhearted and distressed? I know storms will come. I know trials come. I know heartaches come. I know the loss of loved ones and problems happen in this life. But the Bible says we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not an ABC thing. It's not an optional thing. There is victory through whatever situation you face through Jesus Christ. Oh, but listen, you must possess that victory. You must grab a hold of it. You must take the promises of God at this word. You know, I'll be honest with you. I was in Bible college not very long, and a preacher by the name of Brother Milton Taylor, some of you may know him, he came and he preached one of the chapel services one night at our college. And I want to say he preached a message. I couldn't tell you the title. Don't even know if he gave a title to the message. He did not preach it the educated way where we have to rhyme everything. And all, I mean, I'm all for that. I'm just saying, hey, I don't even know if he preached it that way. But he preached a message that night that changed my life. God used him to. And he preached out of Romans chapter 6. And boy, it helped me. You say, why? Because as I began to read Romans chapter 6, I began to realize that you and I, Jesus paid for our victory on the cross of Calvary. And the scripture tells us in Romans 6, three things to where you and I can live victorious. Number one, we must know what the scripture says. We must know what he done for us on the cross of Calvary. There's a lot of us, the reason we're not living in victory is because we really don't know what the Bible says about victory. We really don't know what the Bible's trying to tell us. We've not picked up the Word of God long enough to know that the Scripture says we are victorious. That Romans 8 verse 37 says that we're more than conquerors through Him that loved. We're not just on the winning side. We're more than conquerors. We've already, listen, we're even, there's not even a word to describe it. All they could say was we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We're more than victorious today. And the Bible said in 1 John 5, I believe it's verse 4, that this is the victory, even our faith. By faith in Jesus Christ, we can have victory. But let me get back. Brother Milton Taylor, he said, number one, you've got to know what the Bible says. The Bible said in Romans chapter 6 there that we are dead to sin. He said, you've got to know what the Scripture says. Number two, you've got to reckon it to be so. You say, what does that word reckon mean? That word reckons mean you got to put faith. You got to count it to be so. Every once in a while, I get my phone out, and I don't have it on me. I wonder why, amen. But I get my phone out, and I go to my BB&T app, and I look up how much money's in that bank account. Normally, it ain't very much, amen. Amen. But anyway, praise the Lord. But I go to that BB&T bank account, and I look, and it'll show up $5, amen. Or it'll show up a few dollars. But I've got to reckon, count, and trust what it says is the truth. And you and I, a lot of times where we fail is we got the promises of God right here. We've got God's scriptures. We've got His Word. We've got His promises. We've got what He's told us, that He paid the sin debt for us so that you and I don't have to. He's told us we can live victorious if we'll just trust Him. We look at His promises, but instead of trusting, instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to take exactly at its word, a lot of times we don't. We say, well, this is just life, you know. But if we'd reckon, count it to be so, put our faith and trust in this. And then thirdly, he said, you got to yield yourself as instruments of righteousness unto God, as those that are alive from the dead. You see, you and I, a lot of times, we fail to do one, two, maybe three of those things. We fail to know what the Scripture says. We fail to count it and put our faith in what God says. And then we fail to yield ourselves to God. And we just seem like we're always on a roller coaster up and down. But I got news for you. Listen, God's promises says that we are possessors of victorious territory. But are you and I possessing it this morning? Amen. I ask that question once again. Do you have, let me just say that. Number one, are you saved this morning? But number two, are you truly living in victory? I know we mess up. I know we fail, God. Thank God that 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. 1 John 1:9 does not apply to unsaved people, but it applies to the brethren. It applies to those who have messed up since they have been saved. I'm glad the Bible says if we confess our mouth, the Lord, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, a lot of people's not walking around in victory because they messed up, but they've not gotten it settled yet. They've not gotten it right. They've not come to an altar and said, Lord, I've sinned. You know what that word confess means? Just acknowledge it. Just to realize, I've done it. A lot of people go around, and maybe you've not met them yet, they're always blaming somebody else for their sin. Well, I was born into this family. I married this woman. I married this man. Okay, that's, you know, it is what it is. A lot of situations you can't help. But to the day you come to realize I'm my worst enemy and my number one problem will be the day you get victory. The day you begin to realize you can quit blaming the devil. You can quit blaming everybody else for your problems. Say, Lord, I confess I'm the mess up. I'm the one who's made mistakes. I'm the one who's done this to my life. And I need to get some things right. You'll get victory. But I want to give you this, thirdly and lastly. We'll be done shortly, amen. The Bible says, I want you to look at me in verse number 5 through verse number 9. I want you to look at some of the promises he gives here to Joshua. Look what he said in verse number 5. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to thy right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You see, when they come to Joshua, don't misunderstand me here, but it was almost like God gave them a new law. Now, I'm saying that he done away with the commandments. Don't understand me. I say this one by way of an outline. But I want you to go to Romans chapter 8 with me real quickly. I want you to turn Romans 8 with me real quickly. You'll understand what I'm saying in a minute if we get there. Amen. The Lord's got good liberty. Listen, I love his place. Good liberty in here to preach. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Romans chapter 8, though, I want you to get here. The faster we get there, the faster we'll be eating. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 8. I want you to look with me in verse number 1. We may not get past verse number 1, amen. Bible said, Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. I could preach there for another hour, brother, but I'm not for the sake of your bellies this morning, amen. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But I want you to look at verse number 2, what I'm trying to go with today. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. When you and I got saved, it's like we come under a new law. No longer are we sitting here. No longer are we judged by the old law. But now God give us a new law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm glad that the law, listen this morning, the Holy Ghost is living on the inside. And you say, well, where are you trying to go? Go back to Joshua. Look what he told Joshua there in verse number. Go back to Joshua chapter 1. Look what he told Joshua in verse number 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. In other words, the same promise you and I have today, that the Holy Spirit of God lives in our hearts and it'll never leave us nor forsake us. He told Joshua the same thing. He said, I'm promising you a life filled with security. I'm promising you a life full of nothing but the Savior, amen. I'm promising you a life full of joy and peace, because I'm not going to leave thee nor forsake thee, but I'm always going to be with you. Aren't you glad this morning to know, no matter how rough the time gets, the Lord is still with you. The Lord is still going to go with you through it all. I'm glad that God is there through the storms, through the hard times, through the rough days of my life, through sickness, through sorrow, through whatever you face, even though you may have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is still there. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. A life full of security, a life full of the Savior, a life full of nothing but this. And I like what he told him in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. See, a lot of us walking around in failure because of fear. Amen. Scared of everything that moves. But he told Joshua here, he said, no man's going to be able to stand before you. You follow me. And did he not keep his promise? They went to the cities. They went to Jericho. There they got to Jericho there. And just a few chapters over. You say, well, how did they conquer that big city? Following God. You tell me how the walls fell by marching around them for 6 days. One time a day they marched around that city. For 6 days, quiet as a mouse. But on that seventh day, they marched around seven times. And boy, listen, There they began to blow the trumpets and they all began to shout and the walls fell. You say, what are you trying to say? God gives victory, not always, always, not the way you think you can obtain it, but by trusting in the finished work that Christ has already done, by trusting in His Word, you can have victory. Nobody ever thought the walls of Jericho would have failed. Definitely not by marching around them. But God had a plan. God had a purpose. Listen, I love these verses here. He said, you have a life. I promised them a life full of security, full of the Savior. But I like this as well. He told them three times in verse number 6. He said, be strong and of a good courage. Verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. He told them in verse number 9, be strong and have a good courage. But he promised him a life full of strength. Amen. You say, what are you trying to say? He told him to be strong and very courageous. But the only way he could be strong is through the help of the Lord. And aren't you glad whatever you faced, God will give you strength for it? Aren't you glad whatever storm, whatever difficulty comes your way, God has strength and grace to help you in your time of need? I believe that. God gives grace and God gives strength. You know, Paul said over there in 2 Timothy, he said, at first look, no man stood with me. He said, but all the Lord stood with me. And he strengthened me to pray. Listen, sometimes you and I, we look around and think nobody's beside of us. Nobody's helping me. Nobody's on my side. Nobody loves me. Can I tell you something? Jesus loves you. Can I tell you something? Jesus will help you through whatever you're facing. Jesus will strengthen you to preach every time He gives you a place to preach. God will strengthen you. God will help you. And God will be there for you like nobody else has ever been. Amen to that. But I want to say lastly, and finishing up here, look what he said in verse number 8 there. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He promised him a life full of Scripture. Amen. Listen, he said, don't let this law depart out of your mouth. He said, you meditate it all the time. You do what I tell you to do, you'll have victory. And then he told him not only a life full of Scripture, but a life full of success if he'd follow the Lord. Listen, what's our excuse today? Amen. I'm not trying to be mean when I say this. Not trying to be mean-spirited. But you and I, we have victory. We're just not possessing it a lot of time. We have the Scriptures. We have success right before. We have the strength of the Savior, the security of the Savior. We have all this. But I wonder today, are we living in victory? You'll know if you're living in victory. Others will be able to tell it too. That joy, that peace. Listen, I remember the day at Bible College on that Monday night when Brother Milton Taylor began to preach. He gave the invitation there and I just found my place in an altar there and began to pray. Say, Lord, I've been trying to do it on my own. I was saved. That's not what I'm saying. But I realized there's things in my life I kept struggling with. Things in my life, it seemed like I kept being defeated over. And I always kept walking around like I was just defeated and discouraged. And nobody else may have known it, but God and me knew it. But it was a good day when I just claimed what Jesus done and said, I'm trusting. I'm going to claim Scripture. I'm going to claim what Jesus said. And no longer am I going to keep being defeated by these same old things. What's stopping us this morning? I'm going to ask you to stand together. Every head bowed, every eye closed.